So I think kind of our initial step into this social distancing world was a lot different for us because we came at it with the mindset, it's the same clients and we're going to do the same incredible work. While I think we accomplished that, I think it took us a moment to sit back and say, wait, we're in the middle of a pandemic here. So it was a matter of us trying to retool a little bit and maybe get things out faster so it becomes a safer environment in the restaurant world.
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals, but the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. We need a game plan, and fast. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. I'll have the most current solutions and best practices available so we can ensure your business not only survives this crisis, but thrives once we start moving forward again. Co-hosting with me will be my colleague, Sid Varakara, principal of 10 Page Memo. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business.
You're listening to Hack My Business in partnership with Avant House Media. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to like and leave us a review of your thoughts on the show.
Welcome back to Hack My Business, a podcast designed to help you, the entrepreneur, hack to success by giving you the best tools, tips, and access to experts that can help you to launch and grow your business. My name is Jesse Torres, creator of Hack My Business, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sid Varakara, Senior Vice President for Strategies 360. Sid and I will be leading this special episode series, which is focused on helping small businesses impacted by COVID-19 pandemic get back on their feet and strategize for the future. Sid, how's it going today?
Jesse, I'm doing well. I think that today is one of those days that I hear a lot of folks talking about how you don't know what day of the week it is, because we've been in this for so long. So I'm kind of feeling like it could be Friday, it could be Wednesday. I'm not even sure anymore.
Yeah, I feel you. You know, this is actually one of the few days that feels very distinct for me, and only because my son had his fifth grade promotion. You know, I didn't really have that kind of promotion events, you know, when I was young, but, you know, typically that's a, you know, kind of an elaborate affair where there's, you know, a party for the kids, all that kind of stuff. And in this case, it was him sitting on a couch, you know, looking at his classmates through this digital screen. And it's kind of heartbreaking, right? To see that and to have him experience it in such a, you know, kind of, I would say pivotal, you know, event in his life. And it's in this really, you know, just very, I don't know, it wasn't necessarily cold, but just not quite what we all imagined. But, you know, I was just thinking like, oh my gosh, this is actually one of the few kind of signature events that's kind of broken up my, you know, my day so far. And so I think it's helped to kind of mark today versus every other single day has really just kind of flowed all into one just long day, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's not fair that he didn't get that, actually. It actually makes me think about the fact, you know, this morning, my two-year-old getting ready to go take our dog for a walk, he grabbed a mask to put on, and I snapped a pic of it because I thought to myself, like, no two-year-old who wants to go walk his dog needs to be or should be wearing a mask. But on a lighter note, the fact that you didn't have a fifth grade ceremony just makes me question, did you actually graduate from fifth grade?
I knew you were going to go there. I was trying to figure out how exactly you would go there. Okay. But yes, yes, in fact, I did, Sid. Fortunately, my school was all in one. So we were, you know, we had classes up through the eighth grade. So it just wasn't that big of a deal. Okay. You know, the kids today, you know, they got it different. Well, anyways, I know, as you kind of mentioned, you know, we're all going through this just very extraordinary time. And I'm really excited to have a couple of guests with us here today. Olson Visual, which is a Hawthorne-based, it's a family-owned business that is a global provider of visual marketing, what they call stunts, and a producer of distinctive exhibits and graphics from their full-service studio. And, you know, what really excited us about having them join us, Rick and Jake from Olson Visual, is that they themselves have really, I think they've done the best they can to adjust to a very dynamic situation, both in terms of their kind of business model, their product line. You know, they really kind of really leaned into this current situation. And we thought we'd bring them in to have them talk about, you know, how they approached that strategy, you know, what led them to make certain decisions, how they made those decisions in real time. Because I know there's a lot of folks out there that are really, you know, trying to figure out how do I pivot? What does it really mean to pivot? And in a real practical way, what does that mean when it comes to products and, you know, how I connect with my customers? And so we're just really excited to bring them on. So let's go ahead and welcome Rick and Jake. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for asking us, Jesse.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're definitely into new territory because this is the first time we've actually had two guests at the same time. You know, so it'll be great to, you know, have a full conversation with both of you, get your thoughts relative to the company and learn more about what all the exciting things you're doing. One way we'd like to start every show is by providing a quick business hack for our listeners, something that will help them with their business strategy, their processes, you know, just something that you like to use as part of the course of your work that it might be helpful for those who are out there also trying to improve their business efficiency. So maybe Rick, we'll start with you. You know, what's your current great business hack?
I think the hack that I've been using for many years is consistently checking in with my staff throughout all the different departments, because I've always kind of thrown new ideas and scenarios at them. And I want their honest opinion. And I think that has over the years have come up with numerous developments that have helped us, you know, come up with products or processes or people, you know, somebody wants to do a different function. So in the business. So I think, you know, doing the rounds and talking with everybody helps a lot.
And do you do that in person? Like you physically go and just chat with your team?
Yes. Maybe late morning after some early calls, I'll just kind of, you know, walk through the facility, just talk to people and just see what's going on.
Jake, how about you?
The best hack I do on the daily basis is I create a list of something I don't want to do for that day. I'll start, it's usually about two or three things. And before I leave home for the office, I write it down on a notepad. And that's the first thing I do. I try to do in the mornings when I get into the office.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. Tackle that thing first. That's really great. Sid, how about you, man?
So I appreciate, Rick, you talking about people, because I was thinking about today my business hack for the day, and it's about people as opposed to your employees. I was just thinking about my family, like just spending time with my family and making sure that I'm like kind of balanced in my both work and, you know, personal life just helps me be clear of mind so that I can be better and more engaged and proactive and thoughtful about when it comes to business.
That's great. I'm much more on the digital side, I guess, when it comes to, you know, trying to find a great business hack for myself. Since I'm there on the computer all day long and I'm always on now Zooms and phone calls, I'm always trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way to capture notes and organize it. So I use, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Evernote, which is it's an online app that's just essentially a great way to capture notes, take notes. One cool feature about it is that if you're on a website and you're really interested in the article content or the web content, you can clip it and it sends it right into your Evernote database. And, you know, so I like it. They're not a sponsor of the show or anything, but it's just a great, really kind of useful tool that I have that keeps me organized, because I am extremely disorganized sometimes. Well, you know, why don't we go ahead and get started by just learning more about Olson Visual. So Rick, you know, you're the CEO of the firm. Why don't you just tell us about how Olson Visual got started and what exactly you guys do?
Well, it's a family business that started back in 1954 by my father, Bob Olson. Back then it was large photographic murals and prints, all hand processed, very old school craftsman type workmanship. Did a lot of work for photographers and some museums. Throughout the years, when I had two brothers that came alongside me, through the years we got into more mechanical processors and eventually got into the digital world. And so now everything is done on large inkjet machines. We have machines from 5 foot wide up to 16 foot wide. So we can make you know, really billboard size, larger things like that. Throughout the years, we've kind of tailored ourselves to being experts in the entertainment promotion world, which is probably 60% of our business. And then we do a lot of work with our growing area is corporate events where, you know, big companies have events and we help brand whatever's going on there with graphics and different things. And we also do some work in the retail sector. And so it's been a interesting thing. Jake is our leading salesperson in the entertainment world. So I kind of wanted him to be a part of this discussion on, you know, how he's handling the change because, you know, at the moment, pretty much all theaters are shut and all events have been canceled. So we were faced with an unprecedented situation.
Yeah, Rick, let me ask that like a question directly at Jake. You know, the past few months have been truly incredible in terms of the radical change to how we are living and working. So when did you first get a sense that it was no longer business as usual?
I think for me, March 11th, March 12th is when I kind of was sitting at home and realized this isn't going to be the same moving forward. When we started to learn about live events shutting down and things like that, I, you know, through the beginning of March, I had figured, oh, there's no way we can close down, you know, a live sporting event, a car racing event. That's just not going to happen. People don't want to miss out on the money. And when I saw it start to happen, I knew theaters closing were right around the corner. And for us, I knew that that was going to be a pivotal moment if we're going to be able to adapt to this change or if we're going to kind of sink with the ship.
How did you approach that? You know, on my end with my own business, you know, one of the first things that I did was I just wanted to bite the bullet. You know, so I reached out to essentially all my clients and asked, you know, are you going to be able to pay? You know, what does the work look like? Can you just tell me straight out, you know, what I should be anticipating for so that we're not all on the same page? And I knew part of it is just that I was certain that they themselves had a fear and didn't quite know, you know, how to even broach the subject. So I thought I would do it kind of for them. Did you go through the same experience? Because I know you're on the, you're definitely on the client side, you know, but how did it go for you?
We had kind of a significant drop off about the second week of March. And I think that kind of led away to that early discussion of what's going to happen. And once mid-March hit, a lot of our clients, I talked to our clients daily, and they had said, you know, oh, we're working from home. We're not going to be in the office for the next 2 weeks kind of thing. And once that happened, we knew that it was just a matter of time. And as far as our books went and everything, our accounting kind of peeked up real quick and said, hey, these are who's behind on payments. Let's get in touch with them. Let's see if they're going to be able to make these checks, figuring that furloughs were kind of right around the corner.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, Rick, as the CEO, you know, what are you looking at? I mean, how are you already thinking about making that kind of change, you know, a pivot. I'm guessing that you're getting now information from your team, right? They're saying something's not right and it's not like anything else we've probably seen. So what does that decision making look like and how do you know where to go from there?
Hard to figure out how severe anything's going to be. 13 years ago in the last big recession, I had people clue me saying, gee, do you know the downturn's coming? And, you know, I took action to kind of scale back on some personnel and things like that. And, you know, it was a rough period, and we survived, obviously, but this was different. I mean, this was like a shutdown. So I think, you know, you instantly have to start thinking, okay, where can we cut back and how can we be relevant to our existing customers? And seeing that everybody was going home, really whatever they ordered from us stopped. Then I had to start thinking, what are we going to do? And so that's where we came up. We discussed with a supplier of ours. We have this system called T3 and they produce a modular aluminum extrusion system where we build displays for our graphics and using that same system. And they're based in London. And it seemed like Europe was maybe a little bit further ahead in terms of wanting to develop safety measures. And so that's kind of how we came up with our social distancing structure, you know, strategy. But besides figuring that out, we had to figure out how to market. And, you know, our firm, I was always the marketer, right? Had my Facebook, had LinkedIn. You know, certain people follow me, but I think we realized that we needed to go to a direction that we had not been in for a very long time, you know, pretty much going out to the general public, you know, B2B kind of stuff. So that's, you know, we developed structures, we developed marketing plan, and that's what's kind of gotten us to where we're headed now. And I think, we're starting to see the fruits of that effort.
So Rick, why don't you share with us about the Essentials product line? How did you move into that arena? And Jake, what products would you say are proving to be the most popular? And frankly, for the two of you, I'm curious, do you think we'll ever go back to a traditional office floor plan? I know that's a lot. We have a lot to cover, right?
He has a lot of questions.
I appreciate that, Jesse. It is a lot of questions. But I think that, we all want to understand these things. And I think that the two of you really can help us all kind of like answer some of these questions together.
Our company has always kind of been on the higher quality, custom quality end of the graphic and branding world. So the structures we initially developed were with these aluminum structures. They hold acrylic. We can make them any size. It can fit on top of a desk and sit around a desk. It can create a whole environment. And it's using this aluminum structure with, you know, either clear acrylic or we can print on it if you want to, you know, have privacy or theme it out. We can even powder coat the bars. You know, there's a million different options. And we did that initially, and I'm not sure that was the right move because there was a lot of pushback on price. And Jake can get into some of that in a second. So we kind of developed, you know, a high end, a medium end, and just a low end to offer to potential customers. Most of our regular customers were really just furloughed and shut down. So, you know, who do we go to? And do we do offices? Do we do restaurants, hotels? And so we're kind of going to all these areas. And, you know, I think it's through the marketing efforts, we're making mock-ups and we're just dreaming, but we're also using the knowledge we learning from our distributor in the European area as well, but we're tailoring it to the US. So I think it's still developing. I mean, it's invigorating doing that. You just want to get selling more, but that's always the case.
Yeah. And before, I'd love to hear, you know, Jake's thoughts, but, you know, we probably should have mentioned that your clientele, you know, if people go on your site, you know, the brands that are associated with your company are amongst the biggest names in entertainment, you know, and I don't need to name drop for you guys, but, you're talking some really major clients that, well, there's obviously a lot on the line when it comes to their brand image, you know, how they represent themselves. So I can only imagine just the kind of the stress of thinking through how you're going to maintain that real positive relationship with the client, right? As you're, you know, thinking about this kind of radical change. But Jake, you know, jump in, man. We know what was it like on your end?
So on my end of things, it was real interesting because historically, like you say, due to our clientele, it's a lot of people that have to protect a large IP and really care about the product they turn out. And I think that's why we've been so successful over, you know, the past 60 plus years is, we put quality first above anything. We do our best to make sure that whatever leaves our shop, there's not a single defect in it. And in the printing world, that can be a nightmare. It could be two or three reprints. So I think kind of our initial step into this social distancing world was a lot different for us because we came at it with the mindset that it's the same clients and we're going to do the same incredible work. While I think we accomplished that, I think it took us a moment to sit back and say, you know, wait, we're in the middle of a pandemic here. What we're doing is trying to provide safety for these people. So it was a matter of, you know, us trying to retool a little bit and maybe get things out faster and still have a great level of quality, but it needed to shift and change a bit in my eyes that it wasn't as detail oriented as we normally are day to day. But we had to change gears and really get that stuff out there for people. So it becomes a safer environment in, you know, in the restaurant world. Our biggest performer to date has been our safety barriers, and we can do them in any size, like Rick has said. And we've customized them for different restaurants. We've customized it for different businesses today. And I think that's the way it'll go for us, at least.
So let's just stick with this safety theme for a minute. First of all, I think that when we are in this moment of crisis, right, there's like business owners like yourselves who are thinking about the way to pivot. And then there are those just for not at all, I don't mean to be negative, but like who are paralyzed. Right? You don't know what to do or how do I kind of like pivot to be productive moving forward. So, I mean, I think safety is like the first and foremost kind of issue that every customer is going to deal with. So I'm curious, like, what's your advice? What would you say to a business owner, a restaurant, to a retailer that wants to do the right thing, but they don't even know where to start?
Everybody has to in their mind, kind of work out how long do you think this situation is going to be around? And how long am I going to be faced with taking extra measures? And so I think once they get an idea like, okay, I can change this or that. And, you know, if I scale back, watch my cash, stay in constant communication with either your employees and your customers, if you can, you start to get the feel that, okay, this is going to be okay, or I'm going down the wrong street. You know, and it's difficult. I mean, some of this is a leap of faith. And I don't know. If you've been through these things a couple times, I think you get a little more used to it. But if it's the first time, that's a hard deal. And I think if you can commiserate with peers in any way, I think that can help a lot.
I love that you said it that way as a leap of faith, because I think for a lot of folks out there, they're really struggling about how to take on risk when the world around them, you know, just seems so riddled with it, right? And I see that like they're afraid to take any step forward because they just don't know. I mean, the uncertainty is so, I mean, it'd be one thing if it was a kind of a natural disaster, right? Where you have an end to the incident, right? But in this case where it's a rolling and now kind of being compounded by civil unrest, what I really want to dig into is like, how do you find that strength? You know, is it just out of sheer need? You know, do you just have to make a decision? And so you just move forward. And especially, I mean, you have what I assume is a large team, right? So you have a lot of people that are depending on you. So, you know, the scrutiny, right, on the decisions you make must be fairly intense. And I don't mean to add on additional pressure to you, but dig into that.
You know, we've been fortunate. We've had a consulting team work for us for probably almost 30 years. They're like part of the family now. Very small, just husband, wife. We have run through different scenarios if things keep getting worse and worse and worse. My brothers and I have at least in our mind that if things continue to deteriorate, we can do this or this or this, and we have resources to exist for this amount of time. Putting that on the table and just going, we're going to do whatever it takes. I've been doing this for 45 plus years. I don't want to do anything else, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to survive. I think running those scenarios is a very important thing because at least it puts it on the paper and let the paper worry about it for the moment.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners out there that are also managing their own family businesses. You know, how does that work? You know, you mentioned that your brothers share, you know, leadership authority. How does that work, if you don't mind kind of digging into that a little bit?
It's always a challenge, right? And I think over the years, each of my brothers have kind of gravitated to where they do best. And I think I've always kind of been the person being out front. I used to be the only salesperson, marketing person. So I came up with the vision and all that. But I think when we were younger, it was more difficult. But I think the bottom line, the value was to keep it going and that we were stronger together than, you know, splitting apart.
I think I'll ask this of Jake, but I think it's actually for both of you, because I think the bread and butter of any company and any business is trust. And as we look at the new reality from this pandemic, bringing customers back in, whether they're, you know, they've been loyal customers at a retail or restaurant for 15 years, or you're just looking to bring in new people. In this environment, I think safety is the moniker of trust. How do you use that for your own business of marketing to show trust for your clients, your customers? And just generally speaking, how do you think about trust in this new environment and safety?
I think trust is a key word to move forward with our clients. Our major clients we've been in business with for 20, 30 years for some of them. We've let plenty of people down. We've had our mistakes, but we've always stood by them. And we've always tried to fix it. So I think keeping that on the tip of our tongue, how we step out of this and try to get back to whatever normalcy is left, I think that's what'll bring us there, is the clients that trust us. And I think it'll be hard to find that in new clients. Having to build that trust is a tough thing with people, and especially after something like this, where you don't want to seem like it's a money grab or something like that. And I think we'll take that day by day and stride and stride.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, I go on your guys' website, and I love the videos that you guys show of how you're installing new equipment into different, I think there was one I saw of the Hilton, particular Hilton. And it wasn't a whole lot. I mean, there really wasn't any words, if I recall correctly, but just even kind of demonstrating how you provide safety and how you can help your customers provide safety in turn, and just made it very simple. And I just really appreciate it. I mean, there was a certain art to it, you know, and I don't know if anybody's giving you kudos yet, but I really appreciate that, because I think for a lot of folks that are just trying to figure out, well, how the heck do I do it? You know, how do I make it look nice? Because I've also seen the opposite, where it just looks haphazard, right? A random, you know, kind of plexiglass up in front of a cashier who literally, you know, I can tell you one incident where they just popped their head out the side, right, to talk to me, you know, didn't try to protect themselves, but you guys did in such an interesting and classy kind of way. So yeah, I mean, kind of to this point, as far as even the marketing, you know, how do you approach that, and how do you introduce a product line in a way that isn't, I don't know how to describe it, you know, I guess heavy-handed?
We have talent. We have some very talented people, and I've encouraged them to take on things like, you know, learn how to fly a drone and get licensed so we can do it legally and safely. But I'll tell you, for anybody out there, if you want to promote your business and you can put a video up, I think it was the Hilton, like in 4 days had been viewed 6,000 times. And that's completely new to us, you know, this whole marketing thing. And I mean, we've done e-blasts and things like that, but these videos is unbelievable how it goes out there.
That's amazing. Yeah, congratulations. That's incredible to get so many views. We would die. We would die for those. That kind of attention.
I know.
on government consulting. Yeah, that would be the next level for us.
But it's just something that I think anybody, if they're able to do it, it's worth all their effort, because it really promotes what you do.
One of the things we like to do on the show is we'll bring in questions from our listeners on different business topics. And those one that pertain to your industry that we want to pose to both of you and get your thoughts, just discuss it as a group. This comes from Jennifer here in LA. And her question is particular to movie theaters. And, you know, this is definitely a question that's near and dear to my heart, because I love the movies. You know, that's one of the best ways I get my entertainment. You know, it's the thing I can do with the family, and I'll go by myself to movies. I mean, before COVID-19, that's what my life is all about, especially now that I'm becoming an old man. And, you know, this is the way I like to spend my time. But, you know, her question is, how do you think they're going to adapt? You know, how do you think they're going to make people feel safe again? You know, how are you guys helping them kind of approach that?
We have a history of working with different theater chains, small and large, and through our conversations and my conversations with them, what we see is that social distancing is a big leading foot. You know, seats to the left and right of you will probably be closed. The row in front of you and the row behind you will probably be closed. You'll see some different options for booking tickets. You know, they won't have box office open, and you'll have to do it through an app beforehand is the initial way that we kind of see that leaning. And the concessions, They're talking about a limited concession when they come back and to hopefully build it up. But I think the movies have been such an escape for people. And like you say, Jesse, I'm a big fan of the movies, and I appreciate you saying it. Going alone, I do it all the time. Some people think it's real weird, but I love doing it. But for me, it's an escape. And I've had kind of a second thought about, am I going to sit in that room and be fearful of others? And will I get something? And I can't let that kind of run my life. And I don't think, and I think the theaters are betting on people coming back. People have been cooped up, and, you know, there's only so much stuff on Netflix you can watch. And as you just sit there and scroll for, you know, 3 days and not sure what to watch, there's a day that they open, and I hope that day is sooner than later. But I feel like they put safety first before anything, it seems like, during this stage. I think the public sees that.
It really comes down to safety first equals trust in this new environment. And I really appreciate that. And I feel like that's been a pretty big theme of the conversation we've had. I'd also just be curious to know, like, you know, look, you're both talking about your business and the businesses that you engage with. But I just think that there are a lot of business owners out there who are just doing the best they can to navigate through these really unprecedented times. Is there like simple advice that the two of you have that you'd want to share with them, Rick and Jake?
Can I add in that I think, you know, for those businesses, their customer that they're going to need to win over is a customer like Sid, who is the biggest germaphobe you're ever going to meet, who literally before the pandemic started was already texting me every time he took a flight of how scared he was to be near people because he doesn't like people, right? And I would get these texts and I would just think, please stop texting me because I'm trying to do work. But, you know, so how do you get a guy like him to think that a theater is safe or that your restaurant's safe or your airplane? Or do you just then have to just kind of discount him, right? Or is there now a different way you provide service to him? Like those are the questions that a lot of people are thinking about right now.
Like Sid said, I think it's trust. Cause if I go into, you know, a restaurant like I do now to pick up food and I can see that the employees are wearing masks, they have gloves on, they're behind some type of counter, I can see that they care to protect their own health and for mine. But if I go somewhere that is, you know, just kind of doing it as usual and they haven't taken any precautions for safety, I kind of have a second thought about going back there in the future. And do I really trust what they're doing for me?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And I can tell you, you know, even just going to the local stores near me, you know, there are definitely places I don't go back to because they had that one opportunity to make me feel safe and comfortable. And especially when I have my family with me, where if they didn't do it right off the bat, like I don't go back, you know? And so I think what you're doing as far as helping businesses really consider what kind of structure, what kind of design they need to implement to make sure people feel that sense of comfort is going to be extremely important. And it's going to really kind of transform it. I think you're on this now, the cusp of a kind of a brand new industry, you know, the redesign of things, the new innovative floor plan. And I can tell you the number of conversations I've had with individuals working in big corporate where a lot of the conversation is about, well, one, I don't need to really go back to the office anymore because I've learned that I can do a lot of it remote. Secondly, if I do go back, I want it to look really different. I'm not as excited by the open floor plan that I once was, you know, even despite the fact that it looked cool. Now I want to make sure that it's, you know, making me feel confident that I can go home safely and interact with my family safely. So it's just, and I think we're just on the precipice of a really just extraordinary time.
I feel lucky that we are able to offer things like we're doing, that we have an opportunity. We used to be almost 50 employees. Right now we're at about 25, and I'm just hoping that we can, I'm sure we'll work our way back, but how long we don't know. But it's just, it's nice to at least see half of our staff back.
Well, Rick and Jake, I have to say, I receive your emails and I really appreciate seeing the ways that you guys are thinking about being innovative and meeting the moment. Here in California, Governor Newsom talks about meeting the moment a lot. And I think that the two of you are really doing that. I actually would feel after having this conversation with the two of you, I would love if there was an Olson Visuals certificate that a business would put on their window. It would actually make me feel more trusting in the way that they're conducting business. So I really appreciate what you all are doing in this moment.
Thank you. We'll entertain that idea and come up with something.
Awesome. We want to make sure that you have the opportunity to let people know how they can reach you if they want to learn more about your products, if there's anything, you know, if they want to kind of ping you for any specific advice after hearing the episode. So what's the best way they can reach you or learn more about the company?
Well, of course, we have our website, and that's www.olson, O-L-S-O-N, visual, visual.com. And they can, on that site, as you've seen, Jesse, there's all kinds of info. We also are on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. You can look for Olson Visual as well.
Awesome. And then any cool product lines coming out, Jake, that we should know about?
I think it's mainly keeping the social distancing and the safer safety barricades going, just so we can get further to having an open community again.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate having you both on and sharing your thoughts. And, you know, you definitely are both an inspiration to both me and Sid. And I'm sure you'll be an inspiration to others who are also trying to make their own pivot. So just really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us. I appreciate it.
If you are a California business owner seeking out resources and support, please visit our website, COVID19BizTools.com, which provides a comprehensive listing of grants, programs, and services for COVID-19 impacted businesses. You can also visit COVID19BizTools.com to let us know what topics you'd like us to cover. Just reach out to us on the contact page on the website. Have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.